Welcome, folks, to another CJRO Community Radio interview. This is Manuela, and you're listening to Local First. November 26th, the Ottawa City, in a 2.5-hour closed-door session, agreed to proceed with a bid to buy the Capital Region Resource Recovery Center, the CRRC, in the east end of the city. The CRRC is a 475 acres of land currently owned by the Taggart Miller Environmental Services. With me in the studio is Lucy Regimbald, a resident of Carlsbad Springs, the vice president of the Capital Region Citizen Coalition for Environment Protection. Hello, Lucy. Thank you so much for being here today.
It's my pleasure.
Why have residents of Carlsbad Springs, Edwards, and Prescott Russell opposed this site for becoming a landfill?
The fight has been ongoing for quite a while. Mm-hmm. Just for your listeners, in the 80s, this piece of land was actually purchased. And then because it was such a hot potato, it was sold. So now we're fast forward in 2010, the CRRC decides to go ahead and buy this land again. Now we, the Dump This Dump 2 group and the Dump This Dump Now, which is the Russell group, unified and basically decided, let's do this together to fight this. The reason we wanted to fight it is actually, there are many reasons. The first one, of course, is in our case, although some people in Carlsbad are on this water trickle system, that is a very small amount. Everybody else is on the surface water well. So whenever you have a home, you need to have a well and drinkable water. The city has been very clear, it will never bring the water out to our area. So when you hear about a landfill this close to your home, the first thing that comes to mind is your well.
Yes.
So if I don't have a drinking water, I can't sell my house. To go back to whenever we had other presentation by the Taggart Miller group, I remember discussing with Mr. Ian Taggart, which is the father of this lovely company. And basically, I started to chat with him without knowing who he was because his arms were folded over his name tag. And I basically said to him, you know, it's really sad because I've worked all my life to have a home. And this, in a certain respect, is my pension plan. So whenever I sell the home, I'll be able to find myself a nice place to go and sit in the rocking chair somewhere. Now, with my water surface well being contaminated, I told him, this is it. I'm done. And that person, which again, I didn't know, said to me, oh, well, that's why this company has set up a fund so that if, you know, people have their wells contaminated, you can actually have access to this fund. And I said to him then, well, you know, that might be fine, but I know that I will have to prove that your landfill contaminated my well. And by doing that, so whatever's the worth of my house will actually be just funneled in to get lawyers, a company, lawyers to prove that you have done so. And then he unfolds his arm and I see that it's him. And I says, now that's businessmen like you that actually make that kind of decision. You make your money and then you walk away. And then we are here with the fiasco and no resort. And then he walked away.
No more comments.
No more comments. Yes. So I was really a little upset. And that's how I started off getting involved with the dump too. Because I thought anybody that has no respect for rural people doesn't deserve that I shut up. I have to fight this. That's the one thing. There's water. Then you have the air pollution. Very critical. I mean, you know, and it's not going to happen around necessarily there. Air pollution goes around. And then the people around it. So we're looking at two large farmers.
It's very close to people. It's
very. You have the village of Vars, which is right there. The people in Prescott Russell. So, and then you have all the people that's toward east,
Edwards,
I would presume.
Yes.
Edwards. I mean, there's many homes. Many homes. So that's the second point. The other thing at the time was that we didn't need an IC&I landfill, which is institutional industry and construction and demolition. There was not enough produced to actually warrant having another landfill. But that now has been solved because Taggart just went ahead and asked to get a permit or license to accept residential waste. There you go. You have another facet to this lovely saga. Then you actually look at the soil contamination. The property of the soil is lita clay. The first thing we hear all the time, oh yeah, but that's good because it contains the contaminants. It's not true. Lita clay changes depending as whether it's a dry summer, a wet summer, and if it's a dry, it cracks, and then it doesn't take much for all this leachate that's being produced by the landfill to actually contaminate the undercurrent. Like this is the water going a lot of place, and it's not only two, three, 4 kilometers. It doesn't stop. It just goes. So that is another facet of it.
And it's been a very dry summer and continued to be like that.
So whenever you hear people say, oh, I'm not worried about the contamination, the first question to ask them is, are you on the water trickle system? Because if they are, that's why they won't be worried. Yeah. There are many other aspects, but this is really the major components that we have to face.
Yeah. How do you see this bid on the CRRC that was negotiated behind closed doors with very little time to react from the community? What's your opinion about this?
This is like a tsunami of emotions when we first heard this thing. This is a modus operandi of a big business. You first find a buyer that you think will actually need the site, because at this point, it is not a landfill. There's no garbage on it.
Correct.
It's a site. So they create this partnership. And then when they know that the other partner is really interested, which is the case for the city, because they are really, they're pondering how do we resolve the waste problem in the city of Ottawa. So they approach them, they're interested, then they say, oh, but we'll do this non-disclosure agreement, because in order to be able to really negotiate this properly, no one can speak. And this is what I need to tell people. This non-disclosure agreement is not with the city councilors. They are not the one who agreed to this. It is city, the top of the city. So I will say the mayor and probably the top negotiator in the city of Ottawa staff. I can't tell because I haven't seen it.
Transparency here that should be concerning for the voters and the citizens of the community.
Exactly. Yes. I mean, this to me is the top of the top. Mm-hmm. And yesterday when I was listening to the CTV news in particular, this time that was it, our counselor said something that was very enlightening. She said, all counselors sitting around the table have never navigated this type of a situation. They never have had to deal with a non-disclosure agreement. They have never had to not say anything to their residents, even though they are the one being bombarded by everybody. And it's like you zip up, and that's all there is to it. Now, the problem I have with that, I mean, I understand the logic in order to better negotiate. You need to do this on the side. But I think now the non-disclosure agreement has taken a wider umbrella. Well, we can't even tell you what we actually voted today in city council. Oh, we didn't even vote. And then we can't say anything about the price. The only thing we have done is told the city to continue the bidding process. Now, how can you do that? How can you not even have city councilors vote? Now, you don't need to say who said yes and who said no, but at least have a vote. Correct, and one of the reporters actually texted me and she said, we tried in every way to ask a question. And it was always coming back to, oh no, we can't say anything with this agreement. Now, I really wonder what are the terms of this agreement? Because now I think it's gone too far. I wonder if the Ombudsman of Ontario could actually help us out on this one. It's a thought. I mean, I am not impressed with this strategy. I'm not impressed on how they're using it so freely. You know, we have a democracy. So what's happening here?
Yes. People interested to help. What can we do to prevent the landfill being built here?
There are many tools. Now, it's just that we have to really think about this, how we're going to handle. But in my opinion, the best tool we have is the media. It's the press, because they can research. They can ask the question. In my mind, I'd like to know at the province level, the Ministry of the Environment, how come they actually do a notice of approval in 2017, actually, May 31st, 2017. And one of the recommendations on the notice of approval was that the landfill was being approved, but they had to build a recycling plant before one drop of garbage would actually be moved to that area. Now, if I go by what the city is saying, that's gone. That's been brushed off. The recycling plant has sort of disappeared. The reason we know why is because the partner of Taggart, which is Miller, is no longer really interested in having a landfill. Mm-hmm. It's been awarded a contract with the province of Ontario to be the recycling, I call it recycling guru. They will take care of all of our recycling and probably will do a good job. I'm not saying that. I'm not criticizing this part. But Taggart then becomes the sole owner or the person working with this land. And that's a lot of money sitting there when they're actually thinking of building to win development. How does the ministry give out recommendations and then they are just being brushed off? I'd like to know. Yeah. I'd like to know. Maybe I should place a call to my MPP.
Mr. Daruz.
Or Mr. Blair. Oh, because we have two of them, eh? Like, oh, you yes. know. So yeah. how come all of a sudden this is just not important anymore?
Yeah.
We know that there was a 10-year term. It was mm-hmm. clearly written that after 10 years, which is in 2027, yeah. construction would have been heavily started and going ahead. Now, the city's going to buy this, and they're saying they're going to sit on it for 10 to 15 years. So again, just an extension and there's no problem. Yeah. So you sell the property and then everything falls. How come we're not doing another environmental assessment then? We have questions. There's no human health study that was done then. We've asked the city to do it. Our council put the motion forward to have that done. There are many open questions. I could go on. We need to put the responsibility back to where it actually was approved.
So I would have one more question. Why are you so concerned about the residents of Carlsbad Springs?
The big reason is the demographics mm-hmm. of Carlsbad. For all those of us who were born here, we've known about this site. Like, they tried many times. It was defeated once. And the reason for that was because we had political support, which I'm not sure we have this time. But the second reason is because with time, all of our elders moved away, passed away. And all these homes were purchased mm-hmm. by young families. And I can tell you for sure, I'm also part of the Carlsbad Spring Optimist Club. 10 years ago, we almost canceled certain activities because we didn't have enough kids. There was like a void. Mm-hmm. Now, just take the Christmas for kids. We have over 135 kids registered below the age of 10 to have Santa pay them a visit. So that tells me that there's a lot of young families. Mm-hmm. So this landfill may take form in 15 years from now. I'm 70. I'll probably be gone or sitting somewhere in a quiet little long-term residence. But these families will be here and they will need to deal with this fiasco mm-hmm. because there will be a fiasco. And if they don't deal with the fiasco, they'll deal with the taxpayers that they have become mm-hmm. to pay for that. We're looking at lots of money. Mm-hmm. The city of Ottawa is actually in a lot of financial problems. They have the LRT, mm-hmm. they have Lansdowne 2.0, mm-hmm. and now they have this landfill. So you can run on debt money for so long, mm-hmm. someone somewhere will have to pay. And that will be the children who are below 10 today that will be dealing with this. So that's why I'm concerned for the residents of Carlsbad. Because will they know all the background? Will they know how to fight this? And I'm not sure because I'm not seeing many young families fighting this actual purchase. They keep telling me on social media, Lucy, give it up. Or it's going to be a landfill. It's got to go somewhere. Mm-hmm. It's the same one-liners that I hear all the time. But why? We don't need another landfill. No. GFL is just in Moose Creek. They could ship it there. Sure, there's tipping fees. Yeah, it's probably very costly. But how costly will it be to buy the land, develop it, mm-hmm. run it for a while? And then, of course, there'll be problems when they start building because there will be problems. It's not an if, there will be problems. If Taggart is unloading this land, it's because they know. And let's hope the city does its due diligence.
Thank you, Lucy, so much for being here. Have a good day, everybody. Bye.